This is a HeadGum Podcast.
What's up, party people? Welcome to Lady Lovin' LL, L cubed.
L cubed?
LL. I just wanted to welcome you guys to this beautiful Lady Lovin' Podcast. I'm Jilly Hendricks, joined by Lo Bosworth.
Hi.
My lovely friend Greta Teitelman.
Hello.
And today we are having a return guest on the show, Mika Hollander, who is the founder of Sustain, which is a line of organic condoms and lady wipes and lube, and it's all organic and healthy, and just it's what you want inside of you when you want something inside of you.
The lube is fantastic.
Thanks, Lo.
You're welcome.
Oh, yeah, I love the lube.
Before we start, though, I just wanted to intro you.
Yeah.
But we wanted to let everyone know, all of our listeners out there, we're doing a live show. It's going to be April 4th at Caroline's.
No, it's going to be April 5th.
It's going to be April 5th.
Five.
Sorry, guys. April 5th at Caroline's in New York City. We'd love for you all to come.
Caroline's on Broadway?
Yeah, girl.
Oh, I was just there last week.
It's randomly. Like people are
what
like,
what were you doing there?
You have a podcast?
Seeing a show.
What show?
Darnell?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
Sorry, Darnell.
Caroline's is a big deal.
Yes. It is.
Caroline's is a huge comedy club.
Caroline's on Broadway. Caroline still runs that club.
Yeah. So
if you want to see us and Caroline, you should come to the show.
No, I don't think Caroline will
Caroline won't be there,
but Leslie Jones will have been there the week before.
Oh, that's true.
Amazing. I'm going to see that.
Leslie Jones.
Cool. Apparently I
spent a lot of time. SNL icon.
Yeah. So bring your book club. Bring your sorority.
BYOBC.
No, actually,
your best friends.
Actually, you should bring your sorority. Bring the whole house.
Bring the
Bring your boyfriend. Bring your girlfriend. You could even bring a parent. You could bring your mom. Them.
Yeah.
Point is, if they allow dogs, bring them. Yeah. If they don't.
Point is, guys, we are interested in doing some more Lady Lovin' live shows in a city near you. And so to do that, we have to sell out at Caroline's.
Yeah, we need to prove that we're worth it.
And we know we are inside, but sometimes ticket sales also do that.
We need to have real facts, not Donald Trump facts. We need to have data. We need solid proof. We need real news.
Wow, you really... It's funny. I literally was just at Caroline's the other week. Never had been there before, so I know you didn't bring me on to like be like Caroline's is the best, but it was great.
It's a really fun venue.
Old school, traditional,
it's very legendary.
Very legendary. Great nachos.
They have great food. They also have beautiful fries that are served in a cone. That always look delicious, and they can
the European way.
Yes, and they can give you Shirley Temples if you don't drink,
or vodka martinis
if you do.
I love this. So, you guys, we'll see you at the show on April 4th.
We can't.
April 5th.
Oh,
my God. April 5th. 5/17. We'll see you at the show.
5/17. That is a Wednesday. The 5th is a Wednesday. So,
can I buy my ticket now? How do I buy my ticket?
Online.
The cool thing, too, is we're probably going to have some of our past guests come to the show because they like us. And
yes.
And you guys can also meet them. So, like, Mika will be there, and you can say, Mika, like, tell me more about organic sexual products.
Yeah, you can say, Mika, I used one of your condoms when I had sex and my vagina didn't blow up to be the size of a balloon.
Yeah.
Like mine
or
did.
That. So where do I buy the ticket? You go to Caroline's site?
We have a ticket link that is going to be on our Instagrams. It's going to be on our website.
Yeah, if you can't find us, find the link. You can email us.
Yes.
Yeah. Send it to you.
And we'll be plugging. We're going to record another thing to just put in the beginning of this podcast where we've already plugged it. You know what? Hold on. This just in. The link is carolines.com/comedian/lady-lovin-live-podcast. And
so you can buy your tickets on the Caroline's website.
Yes.
Today.
Today.
Wow.
Right now.
Today. Well, you can literally do it right now. I am on. on carolines.com. We are on carolines.com.
We're up.
We are up and running. Here we are.
Woo! You know what? We look hot in the photo, too.
It's a good photo.
Thanks,
and
Felipe.
Yeah, April 5th at 7:30 p.m.
We'll see you there. Let's get into the show.
Yeah, let's get it cracking. Okay, so Mika is here to talk to with us about all of women's issues.
Girl stuff.
Girl stuff.
Girl talk.
Mika was on our second episode. Yeah.
I don't even know how I met Mika, but I met her and we just emailed and we're like, we need to connect.
We need this brilliant mind. Life.
I have no idea.
On Lady Levin.
But she's just a force of light and she stands up for all women's rights and is helping create a safe space for women to enjoy sex physically and mentally.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, Jilly.
Of course.
Also, when this podcast is out, our new site will be up.
Oh,
sustainnatural.com. So
yes, you have new labels, products, packaging.
New packaging, new products.
Cool.
Lots of new products. So lots of exciting stuff. So check it out.
Can awesome. We talk about...
What's the website?
Sustainnatural.com.
Awesome.
Think with your vagina.
Can you tell our listeners a little bit about Sustain? I know Jill gave us like the brief 411, but I'd love to hear more. Just like why you were inspired to create the business.
Sure. So we started Sustain a few years ago because we sort of looked at everything that was going on with health and wellness and thinking about food and skincare, and everyone was sort of thinking about what was in the products going on their body. But for some reason, which we found really crazy, nobody was thinking about and nobody really knew what was in the products going inside their vaginas. So when you think about condoms, when you think about tampons, lube, all of these products that we're using regularly, the average woman uses about 11,000 tampons in her lifetime. We found like it was, yeah, it's a lot of tampons.
That's crazy.
11,000
tampons?
Yeah.
Wait, I just 11,000 tampons in their lifetime? Girl, I feel like I use 11,000 tampons a period.
I mean,
well, then
period.
You could be our future best customer, Greta.
I shred That's through tampons.
So people use a mix. I mean, first of all, 60% of women use a mix of tampons and pads. So, but that's the average, 11,000 in their lifetime. So shouldn't we know what's in this stuff?
The tamper pamper?
All of it. So
all
we
the stuff
started
that
with condoms.
Yeah.
And our goal was to really make the safest, healthiest, most natural condom in the world, which we did. So we have no harmful chemicals in any of our products. I know we've talked about the lube before. I think just as you are with skincare, you're avoiding, hopefully, petroleum and silicone and parabens and glycerin.
Some people swear by petroleum on their face.
Like Vaseline,
mm-hmm.
like old school.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, I'm not saying it doesn't work.
Our friend, our dear friend Blair,
but
swears by a nice sheet of Aquaphor.
And I think anybody can use... I'm always of the mind of like the most important thing is that the consumer needs to know what's in the products.
Totally agree.
Tampon companies, condom companies, they aren't disclosing. They don't have to disclose their ingredients.
Which is fully insane to me.
And they're, you know, they're FDA regulated products. They're medical devices. So we just totally wanted to rethink what was in the products going inside of your body. We started with condoms. Now we have lube, wipes. We have a whole handful of new products coming out in
Are
the next few weeks.
Are you guys going to do tampon alternatives or
oh,
tampons?
Like the Diva Cup?
I got this these things. I don't even know what to call them from this company, Flex.
Yeah, they're menstrual discs.
Yeah.
What is a menstrual disc, please?
I can tell you. Reusable. They're like the cup, but they're...
They last for 12 hours,
right.
is what the box says.
I really like want to know.
It's like
a
diaphragm.
I haven't used it yet. But
I used a Diva Cup once.
But
can
like,
explain what the Diva Cup is?
It's a silicone cup that you can fold and you insert it in your vagina. And it's a little cup
it
that just catches all the blood. Yeah.
And so basically...
And then you pull out a cup from your vagina and it's
And then you dump it out. But you know what's... You know what's fascinating about using
crazy.
The Diva Cup? I used it.
Can you like actually keep track of how much like blood comes out of your body then?
If you wanted to, you could like store it and like pour it in a little container. But
somebody once told me, I have not actually tried one, but somebody did tell me that, which is great. They're super green. They use it to fertilize their like garden.
Oh, yeah, makes sense.
Their menstrual blood
makes
crazy. I think that
it logically it would, because it should be feeding a potential baby in your uterus.
I think that when we had
super nutrient dense.
When we had the Lola tampon girls on, we were talking about Diva Cups, and they were saying that maybe one of them or one of their friends wore a Diva Cup to like a music festival and then like went in like kind of fucked up into a porta potty to like, you know, take care of it. And that's like when you just have to kiss the Diva Cup goodbye.
Oh, you reuse them.
Oh, yeah. No, yes. That's why people also, first of all, they're known to really reduce cramping, apparently. People swear that they've like totally eliminated their cramps. Second of all, it's the most sustainable option because you're not creating waste.
Diseases grow if you're like reusing it?
No,
you clean it out.
Just as
it's like a sex toy. Yeah.
Or a diaphragm.
Yeah, but like, how do you know if you're really cleaning that right?
Well, okay, you shouldn't use it for 20 years, but they're
comes with a gorgeous little satchel.
Yeah, we are not doing a Diva Cup, but we are doing tampons and pads. Obviously, there's other organic cotton tampons and pads on the market, but we're actually going to be doing a bioplastic applicator, which feels the same as plastic, but it's important, you know, the plastic from applicators does create a lot of waste.
Yeah.
And that you use petroleum, obviously, to make the applicator. So, obviously, organic cotton tampons, better than rayon tampons, better than most of the stuff out there bleached with chlorine. But we're going to stick to our ethos of doing everything as sustainable as possible. Mm-hmm. So, that's how we're going to sort of
so
take
then
a step forward.
The applicator is biodegradable.
Right.
Oh, cool.
Wow.
Well, I might have to switch over to Sustain tampons soon, because I don't know how I'm going to feel about my Flex.
Your Flex
vaginal ring.
I haven't tried those.
Me neither. I haven't tried it yet.
Can you describe what that is
at my house?
It's called a Flex disc.
It's a Flex, and
what is it?
I've emailed with the founders a couple times. It looks like a rubber ring.
Okay, so
like a Nuva ring,
like what a condom would look like before you pull it out.
So like a rubber ring that's more substantial than like the rubber on a condom.
Okay.
It feels like plasticky almost. It's like hard, but you can like bend it. And then there's like a weird material that looks like almost saran wrap that's like attached to it. And it like just comes down into a little like volcano shape kind of.
And do you have it in right now?
No, I don't have my period right now. I'm waiting for my period so I can try it.
So
and
it
then
sounds like
it's
the
a
cup.
Lot like the Diva Cup, yeah. But it's different because you don't reuse it, I guess.
Oh.
You can use it for 12 hours and then you dispose of it.
See,
so
what?
Maybe that's the difference, because
it's
the Diva Cup, you have to like,
one.
You have to clean
wash
it.
Wash and clean yourself, and these you just toss.
What I found to be fascinating about the Diva Cup, which you will find fascinating about the Flex disc.
Yeah, I don't know what to call it.
Is that
that's what it
disc?
Is.
You're going to be shocked by like how little blood comes out of, you know, like when you pull out a tampon and the tampon is
like you're
red, soaking. Yeah. It looks like a red, like sponge of blood, and you see like a goober on it. You know what I'm talking about?
TMI.
Then when you pull out a Diva Cup, you're like, oh, that's it. You know, huh. You're like, oh, this is like, but on the tampon, it looked so crazy. And then you pull out the Diva Cup and you're like, oh, it actually like wasn't as psychotic as I thought it was. Like I was scared when I was younger and I tried to use a Diva Cup that I was going to like sounds gross, but that it was going to like overflow.
Right.
That's my fear
that
with
happened.
This like Flex thing.
I'm just imagining like when you go to the doctor and you have to pee in a cup.
Yeah.
No, just like all of that.
Girl, I've controlled that. So I know how to control that. I can like stop and go when I do that.
You have like nice vag muscles then.
It's crazy. I can like
do a lot shit. Of Kegels.
Well, I start to pee a little, then I stop, and then I put the cup under, and then I pee, then I stop, and then I pull it away.
Yeah, but
I
just
peeing.
Mean the fact of it's like so big and there's so much liquid in it, and you're holding it and you're just like, whoa.
Yeah.
This just came from inside of me.
Your pee pee.
It's like weird when you realize like things come from inside of you. Do you know what I mean?
I think it's weird to think about growing up.
Jilly.
That's what I mean. It's like weird that like your body just releases things.
You know what's even weirder to me than babies? The umbilical cord.
Oh, yeah.
Like your body grows an umbilical cord. It's like a tail attached to a child. It's so weird. That's just so weird.
Well, it grows
to
connected to the placenta.
I know. And it like nourishes the baby or whatever. But like, to me, when that you deliver that baby and then the nurse comes and like cuts the umbilical cord, I'm like, oh my God, it just is freaky to me.
For sure.
Did I tell you that I think I like brought this up to you guys last week or something, the story of how like Teyana Taylor had her baby.
Teyana Taylor,
she became like very well known for being the star of Kanye West's Fade music video in the gym. She has like a banging bod, whatever. She's dancing cool. around. Long story short, she has a baby with a guy.
Like, is she dating Cory Booker?
She's married. She's married to a famous Cleveland Cavalier.
Oh, get it, girl.
And she went into labor in their bathroom. I saw this because I was watching the Wendy Williams show. She went into labor in their bathroom and she just like, she said that her water broke and she was like, holy shit, I'm going to have this baby right now. And she had to lay on the ground. And like 5 minutes later, she saw the baby's head. The baby's head was out of her and they had to call the ambulance, blah, 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 blah. Like she fucking gave birth. By the time the ambulance came, she had fully given birth to the child. And you know, you need to tie the umbilical cord when the baby is out.
I didn't know that.
Why?
I'm not positive, but he tied it with a Beats by Dre headphone cord.
I guess you know to do that because you take classes.
Right.
Or maybe you Google it as it's happening. Birthing. Like emergency home birth, what to do.
Honestly.
A phone operator tells you what to do.
Speaking of which, like I have my period right now and I think I'm having a period issue.
Oh no! What's your period like issue?
I think I need. I'm gonna step away for a minute.
She's having a decaf problem. Yeah. I get it. I have a question. Have any of you had to call 911 when like you're in peril, but your apartment door is locked? To me, that's always like, how are they gonna get in my apartment if like my door is like deadbolted shut? Then do they get out like the machine and like wham your door open? Yeah.
I actually had to call 911 last week.
Why?
Well, there was a woman lying on the ground and she was really hungry and it was freezing out. It was like code blue, as they call it. So I got her dinner and then I called a homeless shelter and they had no more beds. And then I called 311.
In New York City, yeah, there's this thing called 311.
Just like direct you who you need to talk to. And then since it was so cold, I had to be on with 911. Then an ambulance came and took her to the hospital so she could get warm. But I will say, the 911 operator was so nice.
That's cool.
They're very helpful, these 911 operators.
They are helpful.
That's literally the first time I ever called 911.
They're very nice. I had to do it. I called once a while ago just because I think I smelled gas. Like something, some alarm was going off in my building or something. And they came right away.
I'm always like, I don't want to call 911 because like it's not an emergency. Like I never know like when, and I don't want to like take the phone line away from someone else.
Yeah. I guess I don't really worry about it that much. I also don't call 911.
That's true. Like that's the first time I ever did it.
But once I was living in the West Village with an ex and we kept smelling gasoline. So finally we called, emailed the landlord a bunch and she just like never responded, didn't do anything about it. So we called Con Edison and they were like, evacuate the building immediately. And then the fire department showed
That's
up.
That's what happened to me too.
And then the whole building evacuated. It was a townhouse in the West Village and they went down to the basement where the gas lines were and we had 11 gas leaks. And if you rang our doorbell, there was the possibility that our building could have exploded.
That's nuts.
Yeah.
That's so crazy.
You talking about gas leaks?
Yeah. And so
not period leaks, but
the landlord, the landlord was so awful that she didn't get the gas leaks repaired for 3 months and it was the dead of winter and she gave us like space heaters to get through the winter and it was awful.
You know,
did you pay your rent?
We did. I ended up breaking up with him and moving out.
But he had to deal with it. Just don't pay the rent until they fix it.
I suspect he stopped paying the rent because the situation was just so ridiculous. It was December into like March that there was no heat in the building because she had to pay for all the repairs. And then if you get cited like that, if you get a citation that's like that bad, you have to pay the city a huge amount of money to get your gas turned back on. Oh. And so I just don't think that she had the funds to cover it. Yet she was charging the people who lived above us like $13,000 a month in rent. So
my God.
Yeah.
So my building didn't have gas for 5 months.
What?
Yeah, my gas just came back on like 3 months ago. Here? Not even 2 months ago. Yeah, here.
How? Why?
Because I had 96 gas leaks in our basement.
That's crazy.
Helmut Lang was on the corner, used to be in my building. One of their employees went downstairs and was like, it smells like gas. And then, you know, it's like like that thing when you're like, I see a termite. And then you like open up the wood and it's like a full fucking village living in there. Yeah, it was like that. It was like, I smell gas. And then it was like, oh. And then they went and they saw it all. And it was a nightmare. It was a total nightmare. Our water was on boilers and I was taking cold showers. It was terrible.
That's awful.
One thing that I did want to discuss with Mika, because I'm so happy she's here, is we had a few listeners reach out and they wanted to know about all of the different types of ways that birth control that we use.
Oh.
So I thought that maybe if we all wanted to discuss where we're at.
Roundtable birth control discussion?
Yeah, I guess I'll go first.
Yeah.
So I just...
What kind of birth control do you take?
So Jilly wanted to talk.
Yeah, so Jilly is like...
Jilly wrote... In the question.
Jilly's like, a reader, I'm not going to say who, but a reader, a very important reader, said...
I would go first because mine's so basic that there's not really much to it.
What is it?
I just use condoms because I was on birth control for 2 years at one point in my life and it just didn't work out well for me. And so I only use condoms, but I don't really have a lot of sexual encounters unless I'm in a relationship, so... You know,
Bravo.
I'm single right now. So
do you think that if you were to get into a relationship with someone, you would go on birth control or do you think that you would just stick with condoms?
I do not like being on any hormones. I don't want any extra hormones in my body.
Would you get on the copper IUD?
I would not because I just don't mind using condoms.
Cool.
Dope.
So that is me. And I use organic cysteine condoms.
So I have a question.
Let's hear.
I have a question also for listeners. If this is you, I'm interested to know. If you've been super diligent about using condoms, I mean, like, I'm being dead serious, using condoms, and you have a baby, so you're not using condoms, obviously. So you go from using condoms, and you decide, hey, I want to try having a baby.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And then you, you know, are fucking with no condom, and then you end up having the baby. Don't you think it'd be really hard to go back to condoms?
No, actually, people go on to condoms after they give birth.
Because you get your
A lot of women don't want to go back on the pill right away. They don't know what, because they don't know when they're going to maybe want to get pregnant again. There's this in-between period. People also, you know, there's this whole, it's kind of a myth, like while you're breastfeeding, you can't get pregnant. That's not true.
I thought you were really fertile right when you have a kid. Nope.
There's a lot of different schools of thought. Some people say breastfeeding is basically birth control, which is not true. So a lot of people use condoms. Like most of our customers are actually married or in monogamous relationships.
Oh, I mean,
because single people are really bad at using condoms.
Well, because
Jilly.
I feel like single. How is it that singles are really bad at using condoms? I feel like
they just
when you get monogamous, you're like, oh well, I'm.
Don't tell anybody.
Don't tell anybody, everyone.
Well, when you're in a relationship, I wouldn't say that you're generally less responsible when you're not in a relationship, but like, I don't know, maybe you're like drinking a little bit and you like go home with someone and you like forget or like, I don't know.
Well, here's the thing.
Whereas like, you're in a relationship, it's just like, I don't know.
If you're using condoms, from our research, it's usually your main form of birth control. So if you're in a relationship and you're using condoms, it's probably your main form of birth control. For me, for example, I use condoms.
So you're a condom user.
Birth control, yes.
So I wonder what kind of condoms you use.
Maybe that...
I don't really like to tell people what kind I use.
Maybe that's like a statistic that's also the same, like you use more birth control when you're in a relationship
versus
you're single.
You have more sex. People in relationships have more sex than people who are not in relationships on average.
People who are in relationships have more sex than people who are not in relationships. Got it. Okay.
So because
in my mind, I'm like, yeah, I'm like, I don't know about that.
A lot of 70% of straight women have said their number one concern when they that are single. 70% of straight single women, their number one concern when they have sex is getting pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of these women are on the pill or they have an IUD or they're using the ring. And unfortunately, women and men are not too concerned about STDs, which are on the rise, by the way, for the first time in a decade.
Oh, so, really? Why
like
is that?
The reason why I don't really want to, I don't have like casual sex is because I don't want to get pregnant with someone's baby that I don't want to be with. Literally.
So I think that's a lot of people's.
That's everyone's.
That's a very big concern.
That's most people's.
And I don't want an STD.
That's 70%. But Mika was just saying that 70% of single women's biggest concern is your biggest concern, exactly. Which is pregnancy.
Me and 70% of single women are together.
See, whenever
single women,
straight single women.
When I was single and when I was having unprotected sex, let's say, my biggest concern was never pregnancy. It was always I would like have sex and be like, oh yeah, like I have HIV. That would be my first thought. And then I would go and get tested. And then I would be like, why did I just fuck without a condom? And then you play that weird game with yourself where you're like, but Tommy is friends right. with Taylor, and Taylor wouldn't be friends with someone that has crabs. You know what I mean? And that doesn't make any sense.
So many people do that. And, you know, I always say the best thing is to just carry condoms with you, because a lot of the reasons why women don't and men don't end up using them is, okay, nobody has them. All right, we're about to have sex. Okay, I don't want to go out and get them. He doesn't want to go out and get them. I don't want. Is he going to bring it up? Am I going to bring it up? If you have them with you, you're much more likely to bring it up. And
totally.
Insist on using them.
I agree with that. When I was a single gal and I would have condoms with me, then it was like, hey, let's use a condom. But there were times when I would go out and I would get shit-faced and just be irresponsible.
It's so weird to me because it's like guys just don't give a shit. They're just like... It's like, do you know that you could be a father if you do not wrap it up?
I have an IUD, so I've never really worried about being pregnant.
But I mean, how does the guy know you have an IUD? Did you tell every guy before you hooked up with them?
No, they just have sex with you anyway.
Exactly. That's what I mean. Men are crazy.
I think men, you know, are also their main concern is pregnancy. I think we've just, especially in, you know, where we live in New York City and the people we know, like, most women are on the pill or have an IUD.
Use some kind of
a big
control.
Reason that STDs are on the rise is because so many women, which is, you know, overall a good thing, are using birth control, like the pill or the IUD.
Oh, but then the other...
So they're not using condoms to prevent
right.
STDs.
So, yeah, exactly. I mean, there's a lot of other reasons people attribute it to dating apps and having more casual sex, but I
really like that. Dating apps are the cause of
there
the
were all
STDs.
These there were all That's these funny. Billboards
well I mean
in
that
Miami.
Makes sense because think Possible. About it you like open up Tinder and you have a whole pool of people that are like down to fuck, whereas before you had that app on your phone you could go out and maybe fuck. Like Tinder is kind of a hard yes for banging.
Tinder, Grindr, Scruff, Thrinder. Yeah, I forgot about Thrinder.
So what kind of we had our listener actually ask a really deep question about an IUD, a copper IUD, and the difference between that versus a normal IUD.
Well, I wouldn't call the other one normal. The other one is
hormonal.
The other one is a hormonal IUD, and then there's the copper IUD. So I have a copper IUD, and I chose that because I also didn't want to take anything hormonal. I was on the pill for, you know, like a couple years early on in college, and it just made me feel funny. And so I made a really early decision to just like, I don't want to do this anymore. And I was in a serious relationship. And so I got an IUD, and I have a love-hate relationship with it. It was the most painful thing I've ever gone through.
I've heard the copper's really
put in. Oh my God. Like, it was insane. I felt like I was being stabbed inside my belly.
When you did that, did you feel the pain for?
Well, I had to take a Vicodin when I got home, and I didn't wake up until the next day. And then I had cramps, like bad period cramps, for probably like 4 more days afterwards. So here's what happens. You're at the gynecologist. They tell you to lay back. And they're like, hi, honey, did you take your one ibuprofen? And you're like, yeah. And then she sticks this thing inside of you that like literally like
it lifts your cervix.
It like shoots an IUD into your cervix. And it clamps you on the inside. I don't even know. It's insane. It was the most, I'm not kidding you guys, the most painful thing I've ever experienced. And immediately after it goes inside your cervix, you start cramping so intensely that my doctor was like, oh, this is sort of what labor feels like, by the way. And I was like, oh fuck, this is crazy. And for some women, it's not that painful. For other women like me, they say it's the worst thing that's ever happened to them. And for me, it was awful. But on the other hand, I don't have to take the pill every day, which is fabulous. Still now the downside is that I get really bad cramps, like really, really bad cramps during my period. It was really bad.
Do you think that you would have less amount of cramping during your period if it wasn't?
Yes, because before I had the IUD, I had really light cramping, really easy periods. And ever since I got it, it was like totally changed what happens inside of me.
Although I would say that my cramps have gotten worse as I've gotten older.
Same, but I attribute it to that, to the IUD. Yeah.
I got the copper IUD and then I got it taken out.
Really? Why?
Did it hurt you the way it hurt Lo?
Yeah, I mean, I actually brought my mom with me.
I went by myself, not knowing, and it was awful.
And the doctor was like, she's gonna need to not be in the room during this. And I was like, okay, but she was there, which I was glad. Yeah, I mean, it was painful. They say it's like having a contraction when you're giving birth. But I'd heard great things, but the cramps were just too much for me the next few months. So I don't mind using condoms, so I got it taken out. But you know, I think birth control is not one size fits all. Like I feel so strongly that women should, especially in light of, everything that's going on right now and healthcare reform potentially again, and having access to free birth control, which most women have right now, or women who are on Obamacare and most women who have insurance have, it's a really good time to go to the doctor and figure out what birth control is right for you.
Mm-hmm. 100%. I could not agree more.
So you could get, because I got my IUD years ago.
Now it's like basically free.
So now
you can
get an IUD basically for free.
I think it's, yeah, I mean, I think it depends.
Or close
but
to.
Yeah, you could pay $25 copay or $50 copay.
Oh my God.
Whereas years
go
ago
get
when
an
probably
IUD.
Got it, it was like $800.
Yeah, it was expensive. And my insurance covered most of it, I remember. But it was like 2000
right.
and
crazy.
8 or 9, you know? So like, George W. Bush was still president when I got my IUD.
Yeah, damn,
and
that's
so
crazy.
So now, Mika, you just use condoms as your form of birth control?
Correct.
Greta, moving on to you and our roundtable birth control conversation.
Well, I started taking the pill when I was 13 years old. And I started taking the pill because my tits were the size of the fucking moon. And my doctor was like, oh my God, maybe if we put her on birth control, stabilize her hormones a little bit, they'll stop growing so psychotically. They kind of did.
That's so interesting. I've never
heard. But aren't you just like DNA coded to just have your tits be the size that they're going to be?
Girl, my boobies before I got a reduction, I had the same size breasticle as this Queen Latifah.
That's crazy. But I've never heard of a doctor being like, let's put you on birth control to stop your
boobs. Yeah,
oh, well, I'll tell you why.
That
because
like
they thought.
Experimental medicine.
Kind of. But they thought that. So, you know, when everybody's like, oh, I went on birth control and my skin got so nice and cleared up, or I went on birth control, and some people go on birth control and their cramps are better, and like, or even their PMS is not as crazy. That's because since you are taking a hormone, it changes the base, your like base level of your body. And that's why some people, like how birth control is not for everyone. You kind of need to figure out what's tailored best for you. It can sort of shift things around to be more beneficial for you.
Right.
So for me, they were like, okay, maybe it will sort of like plateau my breast growth. And it did help actually. Like once I went on it, my boobs kind of stopped growing for a little. And then I ended up getting a breast reduction 1 month before my 15th birthday. But my boobs were massive. Massive, massive, massive. And they really wanted to put me on birth control also to see if maybe I did have something crazy going on with my hormones that was causing my breasts to be so big. So they were like, okay, maybe if we can get this to a baseline. It's like you need to have, like in any science experiment, you need to have the control. So they were kind of like using it as the control to see.
So like maybe you had like booby elephantitis.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's and when the doctor came in. Okay, Greta, you might have booby elephantitis.
Yeah, you might. So I'm thinking what you have here is a boobytitis. It's elephantitis of the boobies.
So funny.
And yeah, so then I went on birth control and then I just never stopped taking it. Like even after I got my breast reduction, I never stopped taking it because at that point I was like, I had had sex by that point in time, which, you know, very young, but c'est la vie. And then I was on birth control gosh, till I was 21. I was on birth control for 14 years.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. A really long time. Wow. And to be honest with you, it's like, in hindsight, I wonder what my mood would have been like not on it. You know, I wonder the person I would have been not on it.
I feel that way too. When I was on birth control for 2 years, I was dating a guy that whole entire time. And I wonder what it would have been like if I just was not on birth control for the whole time we were dating.
Yeah I wonder. But I mean, you know? at the same time,
really,
like,
affect mood, depression, like lots of things.
Well, sure. At the same time, for me, like, I was really happy that I was on birth control in high school. I definitely was really happy about that. I felt like, you know, I was obviously a very strong person, but definitely, like, having sex in high school, there is that pressure of, right, like, condoms not being cool and, like, all this stuff. And I definitely was someone that would be like, oh, you should wear a condom. But at the same time, like, I did have unprotected sex in high school, and I feel very, very happy and lucky that I was able to be on birth control, because I do think that, you know, was just a good thing.
It's really interesting. My sister was on it forever because of her acne. And she she went off of it, I think, like a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
And she wrote this article for Sustain's blog about how it was causing her to feel really depressed. And people were writing to us, and, you know, there wasn't a lot of medical research around this, and people were very critical of this post and, like, you know, don't discourage people from using the pill. And she was like, you know, I'm not discouraging anyone, and we weren't discouraging anyone. But again, it's like, we want all the information. Like, is it more likely for some people, if they have a certain genetic makeup, to make them feel depressed and then be prescribed antidepressants? And about a month after we published this article, very popular research came out, and people were writing about it everywhere around, you know, I think it's like, if you're taking birth control, you're 23% more likely to be prescribed an antidepressant.
Yeah, I mean, probably the first time I was prescribed an antidepressant was when I was on birth control, but
it's obviously not most of the time.
But no. I was going to say, right, because, like, I have been since prescribed an antidepressant, not on birth control. But there was a component, like, when I went off birth control, it was around the time that my mom was dying. And I did it partially because I just, like, felt crazy. My emotions were obviously out of control. A, my mom was dying, and B, like, I was not equipped to handle that situation because no one is. And I was like, oh, maybe if I just stop taking all this medication, I'll just, like, feel more in control and, like, try and be more in control. And I also, like, had no sex drive and wasn't having sex. So when I went off of birth control, it wasn't a big deal for me. And I haven't been back on birth control since. So now I use condoms. You know, Will and I stupidly sometimes don't. And he pulls out, and it's really stupid. And I know that that's really stupid, which is why I want to get an IUD.
The interesting thing you said, though, about, like, you know, being depressed from getting off of it and then feeling depressed, it's like, I do feel like if you're getting off birth control, maybe it's because a relationship ended.
Mm-hmm.
So you're already kind of, like, depressed, which is interesting. So I wonder if, like, I mean, this is just a theory in my mind, if you stay on it longer till you're happy and then decide whether or not you want to be off of it, because, like, how are you supposed to tell if you're, like, waking up or,
the,
like,
most
that,
important,
you know,
thing,
what I mean?
is, which I hope doctors are communicating now, is, if you're starting to take it, this could be a side effect. You could feel more depressed. Like, note that. Don't just go and take an antidepressant. You know, that just connect the dots, basically.
Right. I mentioned on the show a couple weeks ago that book that I read, A Mind of Her Own, by Dr. Kelly Brogan. Mika, you'd like this book. It's very interesting. It's about, like, hormones and the body and depression.
Mind of Her Own.
A Mind of Her Own, yeah. And this doctor thinks that there's a really clear connection between taking hormonal birth control pills and depression and anxiety. And then, like, layer an antidepressant on top of that, and it's a recipe for disaster.
Yeah.
So I also know people that started taking birth control, like, they just started to feel funky.
You know? I mean, overall birth control is amazing. It is a tool that has enabled women to sort of control their own destiny and fight the system and fight the patriarchy and stay at work. And
just so fucking crazy to me that anyone gives a fuck whether or not women are taking birth control.
No, it's more just because they can control if and when they have children.
I know, but no, what I'm saying is it's fascinating to me that so many men specifically care whether or not women are on birth control. What the fuck does it matter? Buzz off. What does it matter to you if I'm on birth control? You know, that's, I'm just commenting on the social
aspect. I mean, controlling when you have children or if you have children is the most, I think, empowering and easiest way for women to find equality in this world. So it's, of course, amazing. I would never tell anyone to just stop taking birth control.
For sure.
I have so many friends that have been on birth control for forever and love it and never want to get off.
It's all about, you know, having all the information, having there be transparency, having these conversations amongst your friends, your doctors, and just feeling good about, you know, if you have been feeling depressed and you just started taking the pill, like, talk to your doctor about that.
Mm-hmm. And also just like that. Know that you have a lot of options.
You know what I mean?
It's not like you have to just do one of these things. It's do your research. You know, I do feel like also when we were younger in high school, I had tons of like girlfriends that were just going on birth control just because their moms were like worried that they were like going to get pregnant. You know what I mean? And it's like, you, I think they're just the more that you know, the better in this situation. But obviously, like, the most important thing is protecting yourself.
Someone actually emailed us a few weeks ago about people who, like, really learn their cycle and, like, abide by, like, having sex according to their cycle.
It's called, like, the family planning method or something like that.
It's, it's just mapping your cycle and, you know, definitely do not advise that if you're not in a committed monogamous.
Oh, yeah, I do not advise that at all. Specifically for, like, young gals in college living your, like, free life. Do not, I would not advise that.
I think a lot of women who are trying to get pregnant do that, not as their birth control, obviously, but then also if you have experience with it, I know families do it also. So you can like literally pinpoint like the 1 or 2 days that you're ovulating. And so, you know, to avoid sex for like that, those days and like the, those days after it just like, you, I think you have to like take your temperature every day.
Yeah. It's very interesting. I mean, when she wrote us the email, it was like, there's a whole seminar class thing that you can take and you can learn how to do it. And it's, I mean, it sounds crazy. I would be interested to just like learn about my cycle more, just to know more about my body, because I have my period right now and I have it like, I have my period 10 days early and I don't, we were just talking about this.
We were talking about this. Greta and I have both been getting our periods like a full 7 to 10 days early, like the last like couple times. What the fuck?
Do you think it's because you both
are together
because we're hanging out,
like, or maybe molding, because you've had like emotional things go on?
Maybe, but like,
I mean, I have been
like, I think you both
well
have
been, I was gonna say,
I mean this in a bad way, but yeah, or a good way, just a way that you both have been like seemingly like more stressed
the past
like month with whatever, but like, so
longer than a month, honey.
I know, seriously,
so it could be that.
My acupuncturist, actually, who I love, was just telling me, because I get really like debilitating fatigue right before I get my period, but I also sometimes get it at other times in the month. So he's been actually explaining to me and teaching. He said exactly what you're saying. Like, it's good for you to know your entire cycle, like when things are happening, because when you're ovulating in the middle of the month, that could be another time that you're really getting fatigued. And I don't know about you, but for me,
I feel like
just
shit.
Knowing if I'm tired and feel like shit, if I know that it's connected to something,
right, it relieves.
Like it's like empowering.
Yeah.
And like, okay, I'm not like always sick, and
or you don't feel like you're going crazy.
Right.
It's also helpful too to feel like, to know like what you want to eat. You know what I mean? Because I feel like you're always like more hungry on your period or like during that time, and then it's just
you're like, oh, I know why.
Aware of of like what you need to eat.
Totally.
Just being like why am I eating so much today?
Like why I just had that gluten-free brownie. An acai bowl and a tea.
Yeah.
Wow. Sounds great.
Really just overeating over there. And that gluten-free brownie and that acai bowl.
Do you guys want to know what I did do today? I went to the infrared sauna today. I did it very early in the morning at higher dose.
How do you feel now?
I love it. It really works for me. It makes my joints feel really good. Mm-hmm. Like it really... For our newer listeners, I have rheumatoid arthritis, and being in that heat just like makes me feel.
Bernie
does not like my rheumatoid arthritis or my neighbor's dog.
Loves the infrared sauna and wants to be there right now.
So I have a question, because I go in the steam room at the gym every time I go to the gym, and the heat is like pretty intense, but it's you know, like wet heat instead of dry heat, like in the infrared sauna. So is there a difference in how it impacts your body? Do you know the answer to that question?
I sort of do. I mean, I'm definitely not a 100% expert on the topic of saunas, but there's a lot. I mean, saunas have a very deep and interesting history.
Well, they like reduce heart disease by
it's crazy.
50%.
That's why, insane. You know, in Finland, there are more saunas than there are cars.
That's nuts.
Every single house in Finland has a sauna, if not two.
Wow.
It's really interesting. And
geez, what a fact. Where'd you learn that one?
I mean, it's just,
I love,
you know,
that
well,
fact.
Really,
it, like, is like, it's common knowledge.
It's common
hello.
Knowledge, girlfriend. But actually,
that's
in like the
best fact ever, because it's so obscure.
Well, actually, in the third grade, I had to, you know, when you'd have like World Fair and you would have a country, I picked Finland. Don't ask me why. So I know all facts. But I asked my Finnish friend, and he did indeed confirm that like saunas every day is extremely normal. And a bunch of other cultures outside of the United States, going to like bathhouses, saunas, it's a very normal thing that you do.
My mom literally goes, like, she sits in the sauna once or twice a week.
People, so basically it's incredibly.
That's like my steam room habit. I go like 5 days a week.
So they say that going from dry heat, you should do it in like a circuit. Mm. So the best is to go from dry, cool, wet, cool, dry, cool, wet, cool. And what happens when you shock your body like that, when you go from the really dry heat into a cold plunge, then into the wet heat, it gets your blood vessels like really pumping and really moving, and it really exercises your heart. And it's like incredibly good for your cardiovascular health. It's like a little workout.
So in my fantasy house, I'm going to have a cold pool, a steam room, and a sauna.
Well, the issue that I think some people have with saunas, with a steam room rather, is when you steam and then you don't, like, you really should steam and then like splash yourself in cold water afterward.
Yeah, that's to, why like, they readjust. Have the showers in the steam room.
Yeah.
You guys, I really want to record a live podcast from a spa and just talk about like how we're feeling.
I don't think
we're supposed to be super quiet at the spa.
Yeah. Well, I think we should rent it out.
Girl, that sounds like the most unrelaxing spa day ever.
I think it would be great.
Maybe it's just a silent podcast for towels. 60 minutes.
We could be in our towels and like drinking juices and just talking about relaxation.
My friend Imani, her mom is like an incredible like holistic healer lady. And when I went to the spa with her, she is so badass. She will sit in the hot, dry steam sauna for 20 minutes, go into the cold bath for like 5 minutes.
Yeah, amazing.
Go back into the, she is so, I mean, I lose my shit. I did 30 minutes in the infrared, which is, the infrared is a little less intense. Mm-hmm. It's more controlled heat.
Yeah.
So
can we talk about those masks that everybody's wearing?
The sheet masks?
No, you know.
Oh, like the Neutrogena.
Apparently you can buy them at like Walgreens, and
it's like the infrared
like
face mask.
The shelf.
Yeah. What is this beauty treatment? I don't know
it's
about
like
what
I found about it on Lena Dunham's Instagram, and I thought it was this like super exclusive, like expensive thing.
Yeah,
and then
Anna Speckhart has
told
one
me that they're just, you can buy them at Walgreens for
but
like
what
20 bucks.
Is it?
I don't actually know.
Like,
but they
an
look
infrared
so cool.
Face mask.
It's like a white mask.
Is it disposable or reusable?
You can reuse it.
Crazy.
I'm looking at Lena Dunham's Instagram and I do not
go
see
back.
A mask.
It's get into like holiday time.
All right.
It might have just been on her Insta story.
So what's the point of it? What does it do for your
here
face?
I'll pull up a photo of it for you.
It's like
probably just
supposed
to like even your pigment.
Yeah, and I thought it had some sort of like energy, like I don't know, good for like, I'm making this up, because you know if you have those like real daylight lights in your house, it's supposed to be really good with like depression.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah, because it's like being in the natural sunlight.
But is this face mask?
It's a light therapy mask.
Is it gonna affect my brain?
I don't know.
Because
I
remember
think
a couple weeks ago you told me that your gynecologist,
my dermatologist,
thinks that the new face,
she thinks that the new face
could
is
potentially be sending weird signals to your brain.
Because when you're not, when
what's the new face treatment? Let's pull it back.
It's a microcurrent tool.
Like face massager for wrinkles.
Okay.
And basically, you get microcurrent stuff done when you go to the dermatologist and when you get certain facials done. And, like, that's one thing when it's, like, more controlled.
Right. And it's, like, once a few months.
Whatever. I mean, I've had friends that had the new face and they said that they started tasting metal in their mouth. Ooh, and I was like, yeah, you definitely shouldn't be using that. And when I talked to my dermatologist about it, she was like, I don't feel comfortable with anyone using that at home, considering you're like using gel as an electricity conductor into your brain. Yeah. And when you actually think about it, it doesn't really make sense. And all of these people are like, oh, I'm just going to, it says only use it for 10 minutes, but I'm going to use it for 20, or I'm actually just going to use it while I'm watching an entire episode of The Bachelor, you know? And next thing you know, your mouth tastes like metal. And
I have had that metal taste when getting a facial before. It's really weird. Like, I was doing that, I don't even know what it's called. Basically, like, they were sending...
Was it microcurrent?
Yeah.
Microcurrent. Yeah, this is exactly what we're talking about.
Yeah.
Weird.
It's weird. So it kind of makes me feel like it's not worth not having wrinkles.
All right. So TBD on the microcurrent facial stuff.
Yeah. We can see. We could get my derma on the show.
I'd be curious to ask her some skin questions.
Age with what is that line people say?
Beauty with age?
Or age with...
Aging is beautiful?
I don't know. Just like feel great about getting old because it happens to everyone.
Everyone.
Yeah. I think before we wrap up the show, I am curious to have some listeners write into us and hear the kind of guests that they would like us to bring on the show this year.
Yeah, let us know. Yeah.
We want to have like a tarot card reader.
We're gonna.
I think that it would be cool. Greta and I were just talking about this. She watches or listens to YouTube guided meditations. I love
it. Yeah, can you tell? Yeah.
And I think it would be dope to have somebody who does a guided meditation on the show on.
Yeah.
And so, listeners, please send us your requests for the types of people that you would like to have on the show this year. Any kind of expert or not expert, maybe just like a fun, cool person, whatever.
I know that we had a listener write in saying that she wishes that we maybe had a woman or a man on that maybe wasn't politically in line with us. Oh. So I would be interested in having a human person come on and talk about politics, or not even politics, just things from a different angle.
Just
so
not that tawny girl.
No. I can't deal with that. I'm not going that far down the rabbit hole. But I want listeners miners to know that I would be open to that. I also just like my ether is sensitive, and I also don't want to invite negativity into my life either.
Well, I saw a really interesting article. I didn't read it because obviously I always do that. I like think I read it sometimes by reading the headline. But there was an article, I think it was yesterday or today, in the New York Times about somebody who's pro-life, but she's like so upset with everything that's happening with the Muslim ban. So I just think it's really interesting how like the issues have gotten so big and so universal, and things that used to be very divisive before, like abortion. Mm-hmm. I know we're all obviously on the same page on that front, but things that people feel really strongly about, like, I think it's pretty amazing and terrifying that people are able to look beyond that.
Because, I agree.
Like, even with the Women's March, there was a lot of people who were like, I feel like this is a pro-choice march, you know, I'm not going to come because of that. And I think the issues have gotten so, it's like, are you a human? Are you for humanity and like openness and diversity and equal rights, or are you not?
A friend of mine is pro-life, and she's actually very interesting to talk to because she is pro-life, but she went to the Women's March and she did not vote for Donald Trump, but does strongly stand by the fact that
for religious purposes, I imagine.
I haven't delved as deep as I... Maybe we should have her on the show. I haven't delved as deep as I would like with her.
Have a conversation with her.
Totally.
Sure.
She comes from a really, really, really conservative, Republican, religious, Southern family. And I think that, you know, even though she is still pro-life, it's actually amazing because her whole family still thinks she's insane. Like, right. They're like, how can you be pro-life? But go to the Women's March and like not vote for Donald Trump. And I think she makes it a really clear point. Like you can have other views, like you're saying, and still
right.
pick your
women's rights isn't, I mean, for us, for me at least, women's rights is very, very connected to her right to choose if and when she has children. But for some, you know, women, like that's not a big part of their definition of feminism, potentially.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Obviously, like this person, potentially. So she's looking at the bigger picture. There's a lot of women who are pro-life who are for pro-life for themselves, mm-hmm. but they wouldn't, you know, I have a friend as well who wouldn't like disown me if I had an abortion, but she herself would not do that.
Right.
Yeah. I think is the a good place to live in is like you have your own views and other people can have their own views and we can all exist together.
Of course. That's how it should be.
That's how most people who are pro-choice feel. So I guess the question that I would like to ask somebody, a woman who is pro-life, and I respect that, why are you not also pro-choice? Because being pro-choice does not mean that you're not pro-life.
Well, I think in some ways she is pro-life or she is pro-choice because she is choosing she is pro-life. Do you
exactly.
get what I'm saying?
That's her whole argument. That's the point
she says for herself.
She should say that she's pro-choice then.
It's a complicated little bag to unpack. We should just get her on the show and chat with her about it.
I think because it's such a divisive issue, unfortunately, which is so terrible, but because you know, they really view this as murder. It's one of those things where it's very hard to bring somebody onto the other side of the argument because it's so tied to all this religious stuff. But I think what's amazing about our generation, like your friend, is that women are able to still have those beliefs for themselves, but it's not like you have to, which our president's trying to do, is say, you have to agree with me on every issue.
Yeah.
Like, this is the way it's supposed to be. And I think that women and men should be able to choose their own destinies.
Agree.
Mika, well, on that note,
that's
you're
a
amazing.
Beautiful way to end.
Mika, who's your lady loving?
Who's your lady loving this week?
Who's your lady loving this week?
I love this question. I really do. Who is my lady loving this week? Guys, there's like an awkward pause here. No, how did I not think about this in advance?
I think it should be Cory Booker, even though he's a guy.
No.
It can't be.
Honestly.
JK, one week it could be.
I am kind of really feeling Kamala Harris. Like, she was
I shout her out on every podcast.
Jilly shouts her out all
she's
the time.
Great. I mean, I think she's just, you know, she's a, what do they call it? A freshman senator, which mm-hmm. I kind of love that they say that. But
it's kind of sexy to give women, it a little like young high school fresh
like
meat.
She's first out there, but she's great.
She is. She's. I also love to follow her on Instagram because
yeah,
I learn a lot about what's going on in the world, and I like her point of view. And she's a positive female force that we need in the world.
Awesome.
All right, gang. Well, my computer is at 2%. And Mika, we gotta boogie on off.
Gotta go. We love
Mika,
you all.
Mika, thanks for coming on the
show.
Everybody,
Mika.
Buy Sustain, shop Sustain, just find Sustain on the internet. How did they find you on the internet?
SustainNaturals.com.
Is that right?
Yep. SustainNatural.com.
Yeah.
Great.
See you next week, guys.
Bye.
Love
ya. That was a HeadGum podcast.